Today I'm talking about repentance. One of the first things Jesus taught, what he commanded, and what he told people was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We can go to Matthew chapter 3, verses 2, and see him, one of the first things that came out of his mouth in regards to his ministry, when he came on the scene, was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what is repentance? That's what we're talking about today. A lot of us may have a different view of it, and church may have made us misinformed about that. So first of all, we read in scripture that God himself repented. And so first thing that comes to people's mind is, oh, God committed sin and he repented. No, that's not what repent means. Repent means to change your mind. So when we read passages where God repented, he just changed his mind. In certain passages, like in Exodus chapter 32, verses 14, he repented from destroying a city or something like that. Or, you know, he changed his mind. That's what repentance means. And so what I want to get clear is that a lot of people have this idea that repentance is changing your behavior. That's part of it, but primarily it starts in the mind. That's how it works. And so, but in church and in religion, they may say, well, repentance is just stop doing this and stop doing that. But if your mind hasn't changed about it, it's not repentance. So it starts in the mind. And then from there, your behavior changes. And from there, the Holy Spirit also works with your behavior to change how you act and stuff like that. But it all started in the mind. I'm going to prove that with scripture in a minute. But why are we repenting? Well, primarily because the kingdom operates differently from how we think. And so we have to change our minds to fit into the kingdom. The way we think and the way the world has taught us how we grew up is not the way the kingdom works. And so we learn how the kingdom works. We learn how God operates. We learn what he considers to be righteousness and holiness through studying the Bible. And that gives us an understanding and it helps us change our minds. So that's why Bible study is so important. So let's dig into Romans chapter 12, verses 2. And just read that. And it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if you want to know the perfect will of God, you want to know what's good and what's acceptable to him, we need to renew your mind. And so this is all about repentance, changing your mind, studying the word of God to know what God thinks about things. And that's what's bringing about the transformation, as he's mentioned in Romans chapter 12. So it's all starting in the mind. Repentance is all about mind, about your mind changing. Now, what are we repenting of? Well, I talked about generally just different mindsets that are contrary to the kingdom. So let's just dig into a few of them. But, you know, as we said before, the scriptures are full of the ideas of God and how he feels about certain things. And so I just want to go over a few of them. And I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17, and we'll read all the way to the end of the chapter. And I'm going to just dig into some of these things that Christ talked about. Well, Paul, in this case, in this context here, it says, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Once again, we're talking about the mind again. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye be that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Once again, we got to get that mind right. So we got to study the word and know what God is saying so we can change our mind to align with his mind. There's other passages that talk about having the mind of Christ. It's all about thinking the way God thinks about things. And we have to think that way in order to fit into his kingdom. This is a relationship with God that we'll have for all eternity. So we have to start right now thinking about, well, changing the way we think so we can be in alignment with God. And so he's given us scriptures and the Holy Spirit to understand scriptures so that we can change our mind. And then from our mind changing, our behavior changes. Let's continue. Let's do 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24. And that you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So one of the things we need to repent of is lying, deception, half-truths, hypocrisy, when you fronting and pretending to be something that you're not. This is all lying that he's talked about. And I've covered this in another article of mine, but the scriptures teach that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. There won't be no lying people in heaven. So we got to get it right now. On earth, that's one thing you got to stop doing. We got to learn to be more honest about everything. Now, that doesn't mean we go around telling all our business. But the bottom line is that we need to repent from the sin of deception, hypocrisy, and telling lies. That's what repentance is. And it starts in the mind. And so you got to study scripture to see why does God, have a problem with lying? Well, Satan, he was the first one to lie, and look what that caused. We can't have dishonesty in heaven and in the kingdom of God. It's just not going to be acceptable. So let's continue on. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We can be angry, but we can't sin. Anger can lead to sin. So he's saying here that we need to be repent from allowing our emotions to lead us to sin. That's another thing we need to repent of, because some people get angry and they do something foul. They hurt somebody or they hurt themselves. And that's God is saying, look, we got to repent from that. You got to change your mind. That's not the way I want you to operate. When you get angry, don't sin, but do something else. And there's other scripture that help us understand how to deal with our anger and things of that nature. Let's continue on. Neither give place to the devil. Number 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So stealing, that's something you got to repent of. You can't steal no more. You can't bootleg. You can't do things that is considered stealing. Okay. Because there won't be any of that in the kingdom of God. And if you don't change your mind about stealing, then, he won't accept you, because thieves will not inherit the kingdom of God either. So, just a few things there. Number 20, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that is, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In another article of mine, we've discussed hoping for the best for people and wishing, blessings on them rather than curses. And this is the thing we're talking about here. We got to repent from gossiping, slandering, talking about people behind their back, demeaning people, putting people down. And in the article I talked about, you don't necessarily have to use cuss words to do this. You can tell somebody never going to be nothing in life. I've seen parents do this to children. I've seen leaders and pastors and different people in prominent positions speak to people in a way that demeans them, hurts them, corrupts them. And this is not the communication that God wants to have you coming out your mouth. So we have to repent from that. You can't put tear people down no more. You can't do that. We got to lift people up or not say nothing. See, these are the things that God has called us to do. And what we see in so-called Christendom and in Christianity is a lot of the people backbiting, gossiping, mistreating people with their words, demeaning people, putting people down, disrespecting people, lying, stealing, cheating, all of that. And they say they're Christians. They say they people of God, and they say they're going to heaven. No, they're not. They're going straight to hell if they don't repent of these sins. And the reason why they continue to practice them, because they have not changed their mind about them. They have not agreed with God that fornication is wrong, sin is wrong, lying is wrong, stealing is wrong, corrupt communication is wrong. They have not agreed with God in his word that that's wrong. So therefore, they haven't changed their behavior, and that's why they continue to practice it. It goes on to say in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereof ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So another thing we need to repent of is unforgiveness. We can't go around holding grudges and being unforgiving to people, because there's other passages that teach us that Christ ain't going to forgive us. And if you want to see more information about that, there's articles on our site about a whole series about forgiveness and how to forgive people and overcome the pain of somebody hurting you and learning to forgive and heal and all that kind of stuff. But we cannot be people who are holding on to things that people did to us. That's a sin against God, and that's not what he wants from us. We got to change our minds. Okay? We have to change our minds. So that's that passage there in Ephesians. I just want to give you some examples of people who seem to have repented but have not. In two places, one in fornication and homosexuality. Here's an example. There was a couple that was fornicating. I knew them personally. I lived with them. They were fornicating in the other room. Okay. Not married, fornicating. They get married. You would say, well, they've repented now. They've changed their ways. And they're no longer fornicating because they're married and they're legally, you know, under the marital relationship that God has put together. And so everything's fine, right? Wrong. They never repented of fornication because they were friends with fornicators. They then later on brought over friends, or they were hanging around people who were fornicating. So they had friends over to eat and drink with them, and they're fornicating. They know the couple was not married and they're having sex. They hadn't changed their mind about fornication. Otherwise, they would have rebuked that behavior and said, you know what, look, we used to do that, but we don't do that anymore. And if you're continuing to practice that, we can't fellowship with you. Now you say, Neil, that's harsh. But the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, not to even eat with such people. Fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, drunkards, slanderers, people of that nature. Look up 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. God is saying, look, you don't kick it with people. This is so-called Christians now. I'm not talking about people off the street that don't care nothing about God. You can't eat with them because of that. No, you can't eat with your coworker because she's a fornicator. She not saved. She don't care nothing about the things of God. We're talking specifically about people who say they're saints, but practicing fornication, practicing adultery. I knew a guy who was supposedly faithful to his wife, but he would always talk about his so-called friend who was committing adultery. Why are you still friends with him? Why won't you rebuke his behavior? You won't talk about him directly. You won't talk to him about his sin directly, but you'll talk to me about it. You'll complain about how he's a saint and he's going to heaven even though he's committing adultery. He's not going to heaven even though he's committing adultery. He's in sin and he's in danger of falling into eternal judgment if he does not repent of adultery. But these are the misconceptions and understandings and ideas that we have in the false church system. And that's why it's so bad, because nobody's taught the truth in there. The other unrepentant belief system that people have is homosexuality. So here we got another married couple or unmarried person. They hang around homosexuals in the church. Choir director, the pastor might be gay, somebody. They're hanging around them, they're kicking it with them. Like, you know, well, I don't agree with it, but I'm not going to knock it. Well, you better knock it because God knocks it. He does not appreciate homosexuality. He calls it an abomination. It's not an acceptable behavior to him. We can love the homosexual, but we cannot sit up here and act like that's all right. We got to rebuke that behavior if they call themselves Christians. Now, if they're not, or if they call themselves saints and followers of God, if they're not, then that's something else. But still, at the end of the day, we cannot be saying, well, I'm not a homosexual, but I'm okay with homosexual. I'm not going to knock their behavior. See, that we at this place now where you got to love everybody and so-called is accepting their behavior and saying that their behavior is okay. If you knock their behavior, somehow you don't love them. No. We love the homosexual, the man who's practicing this stuff, the woman that's practicing this same-sex marriage, this same-sex intercourse and different things of that nature. We love them enough to tell them, look, you need to stop that or you're going to hell for all eternity. You're going to be in a lake of fire and experience God's eternal damnation. This is how we ought to deal with things if we have truly repented. So a lot of people have not repented when it comes to homosexuality. Yeah, you're not practicing it, but you don't agree with God that it's wrong. You saying, well, they got the right to love who they want to love. No, that's not repentance. Repentance is agreeing with God and saying, look, you endanger the damnation if you don't give up that sin, if you don't repent from that. And so this is just how we ought to think about what it means to repent. Repent means to change our minds. And from there, our behavior changes. Now, I want to make it clear that sin doesn't just automatically come off and turn off as soon as we change our mind about it. Because some of us got habits. Now, some things we can't stop doing, like fornication. You know, we can say, look, I'm not going over this person's house no more because I changed my mind about it. I agree with God that it's wrong. I'm not doing it no more. Adultery. I'm not going over this woman's house no more. I'm going to be faithful to my wife from now on, you know. But there's other things that it's not so simple to change. And it, over time, God will change that. But it starts with our mind changing and our minds agreeing with the word of God and him and his way of thinking, his way of doing things. It starts with believing his word is true and that our behaviors prior to that was wrong. And we need to agree with God about that. And say, you know what, I was wrong. God's right. I'm no longer doing this. And from there, he'll give you the power to overcome that sin and you'll be made righteous and clean and holy and all of that. Next time we'll talk about confession and what that means and break that down. And what does it mean to practice sin versus fall into sin and things of that nature? But I wanted to be clear about what repentance is. It's about changing your mind. And a lot of people have not changed their mind. They just changed their behavior. They just changed their behavior and God is not accepting that. Just because you're not doing it doesn't mean you're repentant. He knows your mind. He knows you still agree with that. You're just not doing it. It's some old cats out here. You know, that his wife is old. He can't do it. He can't commit adultery, but he's still thinking it in his heart. That's why Jesus brought that out. He said, look, any man committing adultery, any man looking with lust in his heart is already committed adultery. He's saying, look, the dude in his mind, he's trying to do it. Why? He has not agreed with God that's wrong. He just probably too old to do it, or he just can't pull it off. But at the end of the day, he has not repented. He hasn't changed his mind about things. So what God wants us to do is change our minds first. Number one, agree with his word and say, you're right, God, I'm wrong. From there, he'll give you Holy Spirit, the energy and the power to say no to the sin and eventually overcome it. So that's what God wants from us, repentance. That's the first thing that we need to do in order to enter in the kingdom of God, change our minds. With that said, I pray that you continue to walk in the Spirit of God and repent of your sins.
Thank you.